Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 158 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to talk about DeMarcus Cousins breaking the NBA, whatever the hell the Los Angeles Lakers are doing, and recapping more of the signings from Monday and early Tuesday. Before we get underway, reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handle, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some reviews. We'd love any feedback. We're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
Have we become a daily podcast?
It seems like it. I mean, then again, free agency is like almost over already, so I guess we're we're going to have very little to talk about, which we did not expect coming in.
I can sleep again.
I know, you really can. It's amazing. There's like four teams with cap space, and we're 2 days into free agency.
And at least two of them are not going to spend that.
Right.
I'm guessing. Maybe even three. The Kings, the Hawks, and the Bulls.
Yeah, one of them, the Bulls, will at least presumably spend some of it to retain Zach LaVine. We'll see. I mean, there's still some restricted free agents hanging out there, Jabari Parker, LaVine, but two of the
big
ones.
Right, but restricted doesn't really count, though. Does it?
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, that's just keeping your own guys.
Right. That's true. And one of the big ones is already, or two of the big ones are already off the board in Aaron Gordon and Julius Randle, who we will touch on later. But more obviously, the big story from Monday, DeMarcus Cousins joining the Warriors on a one-year, $5.3 million deal. That's just the taxpayer mid-level exception. The surprise on Twitter when that news broke was just truly spectacular. And I think now there started to be some analysis about how, like, this isn't necessarily the NBA breaking move that it seemed like right away. Like, your instinct takes over and you're like, oh my God, they're literally just going to start an all-star starting lineup next year when Boogie comes back. But, he's coming back from an Achilles injury. They almost certainly cannot re-sign him next summer. So it's more like of a one-year anomaly than it is a long-term, they're going to have DeMarcus Cousins for the next 10 years and just win 10 straight titles. That said, Mort, what are your thoughts on DeMarcus going to the Warriors? Are you worried that he's not going to be the same player and that we all got overhyped about this? Or do you think the underselling of it the reaction has gone too far, and it's just like he's so obviously going to help them if he's healthy that we're trying to like figure out reasons there's still going to be a season right now, but in reality this just further cemented the Warriors winning next year's title.
Well, I'm actually just sad that he's injured period, because I wanted to see him fully healthy on Golden State from day one. That would be fun. I mean, look, the NBA has gotten so ridiculous anyway, and I mean that in a positive sense, because this is a weird league and I love it. So why not? Like, a fully healthy Boogie starting at center for the Warriors would have been dope. Yeah. I don't know what we are to expect from him. I mean, that Achilles rupture, I think. I was about to say tear, but it almost exploded. That's just such a devastating injury, so we don't really know what to expect. He can come back in, like, December, January, even February. Like, I think they're going to take their time. Mm-hmm. He's still going to help. I don't think he's going to be, like, 2% of what he usually was. Like, he's going to be an above-average NBA player. The thing is, like, how much better? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be like just a 20-minute player from here on out? Even so, he's a wonderful passer. He can still shoot the three, and he doesn't really put a whole lot of lift on his jump shot, so I think that could stay intact. And he's still 6'11", 270, so unless someone has to foul him really hard, he can score inside. I mean,
right.
I'm not really seeing, you know, there are, as you said, there are a whole lot of analysis out there. Oh, he won't be as effective. Yeah, no, he won't be, because when you remove athleticism, that's absolutely going to affect you. But his game, I feel, is not so reliant on athleticism that when he comes back, he can ease himself into it. And then around the playoffs, he'll still be a guy who can contribute in some of the factors that are just fundamentally sound basketball.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I can see some downside to the move, but honestly, not really. Like, they signed Nick Young with their taxpayer mid-level last year. Like, even if DeMarcus Cousins is 10% of what he was, he's still going to be more valuable than what Nick Young was to that team last year.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And that, like, 10%, and that's just, like, 10% is like, worst-case scenario.
Yeah, right. No. I mean, that's the thing.
Like, right. Yeah.
The Warriors, as you said, they can slow play this. They have no reason to rush Boogie back. I mean, the regular season, they've proven, doesn't really matter for them. Like, home court advantage right. doesn't matter, especially yeah. when you have, again, an all-star starting lineup. Yep. So they're only...
All-NBA lineup, actually.
Yeah, right. Like, their only mission is to get those five guys and Iggy through the regular season healthy, and they're going to win the title next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're not going to rush Boogie back. I think Zach Lowe, I think it was in his column today about this, that he said they're... You know, Boogie's saying he's targeting training camp, but, like, realistically, Christmas Day is probably more of a realistic target for him. And even that, honestly, seemed early. Like, it wouldn't totally shock me if we don't see him until the All-Star break or until after the All-Star break. I think you do need time. I mean, he's going to need time in the regular season just to get back into game shape and get used to his teammates. Like, they can't mm-hmm. just hold him out throughout the entire regular season and then expect him to make an impact in the playoffs. But they also don't need him game one opening night to play 35 minutes a night. Like, he's in the perfect situation to rehab slowly and take it easy and, you know, get back up to speed gradually, which I think is good for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the risk is so low here and the reward is so high. Like, the worst case scenario is that he either just never gets back up to speed, or he proves all of the concerns about his locker room presence prove true, and then they can just cut him. It doesn't matter. Like, that's the worst case scenario. You wasted $5 million and you just cut him. But the reward is so high, and I think you have to assume, because he's on a 1-year deal, because he's coming back from this injury, because he's going to be a free agent next summer, he's going to be on his best behavior. Like, he can't risk going into next summer, you know, having been cut by the Warriors or having all these stories leak about him being a negative presence in the locker room of a 3-time champion.
Right.
He's going to be a model citizen this year, I would assume.
But wasn't he better this year? Or, sorry, last year?
Yeah, with the Pelicans.
I felt like we heard nothing about, you know, him being negative. And I feel that Boogie is getting this rep of being like a bad influence type of guy. Whereas mm-hmm. you look at the Kings, like, they just did not develop the personality aspect of him. Like, right. he was frustrated because they kept jerking him around. He finally had a coach he liked in Mike Malone, and they fired him.
Right.
I mean, it's just...
Because he got meningitis.
Exactly. So I think there's a component here where I'm not saying Boogie is blameless at all, obviously.
Right.
Like, he has responsibility. He's a grown-ass man. All these things are very obvious. But I think a bad situation can just compound stuff. I think that it can just make things a lot worse than it really is. And he joined the Pelicans, and I didn't really hear a beep out of him. Like, things were just great. In fact, you know, AD was like, hey, I like playing with him. He's a good guy. Like, we found each other's rhythm. And mm-hmm. and to Boogie's credit, like, he incorporated himself fully. Like, when he came to the Pelicans, it was like, I know it's AD's team. I'm here to help. I think that adjustability is something that we just underrate with Boogie. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he actually wanted to go to the Warriors also indicate to me that he's like, you know what? I don't care about personal stuff. I don't care about it. I just want to win. And here's my thinking on this. We've all said, oh, this is a one-year rental because he's going to get his value back up, then he's going to go in the free agency market into 2019, whatever. What if they win the ring? And remember, Boogie is very emotional. Mm-hmm. What if he loves it? He loves the environment, and he's just willing to take the 120%.
That would be... I mean, it's possible. It's totally possible. I think, given how many teams project to have cap space next summer, there aren't going to be enough good players compared to the amount of teams with cap space next summer. Like, with all of these guys taking one-year deals or accepting their player options, the free agent market is going to be overfilled with these like second and third tier guys, but there aren't going to be, especially if Klay Thompson signs as an extension with Golden State or just stays there, it's going to be like Kawhi, who it seems like he's going to go to the Lakers one way or the other. It's going to be Kyrie. It's going to be Jimmy Butler. And then like Kevin Love, if he declines his player option, Chris Middleton, but like DeMarcus is, if he rehabs his value this summer or this year, he's going to get a fat paycheck next summer. So you're right. Like he could say, all right, I'm cool with taking whatever it is, like $6.4 or $5 million. But you would think coming off of that injury, he's going to want to get a big payday from somewhere. And then he's going to, it won't matter. Like he'll have his ring and then he can retire a champion. And it's the best of both worlds for him.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm looking at here is just him, the emotional personality that he has. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems to be one of those guys who just loves to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, where he just values certain things over money. Like, the things that he get upset about in games. Like, he's a very passionate human being. We can sit here and laugh at him, like, picking up technicals and whatnot, but he's very emotional. He's very reliant on, you know, team structure, team concept. When things are flowing, like he's your guy. You want him in that corner. Mm-hmm. And we've seen so many times that he actually values like Steph and Klay and those guys. Like he has fun with those guys in practice, the Team USA practice and all that. I have a feeling that environment is just going to play such a big factor in his decision next year. Especially if he and Draymond really hits it off, which apparently they're friends. I did not know that they had a relationship off the court, but apparently they did. Mm-hmm. And just a side note to this, like Draymond Green is potentially personally and directly responsible for getting both KD and DeMarcus Cousins. That alone is huge.
He's a better recruiter than LeBron James.
He is. I mean, and we can sit here and laugh about that, but he is. Like, he truly is. And I just have a feeling that Boogie, even though we all look at it, oh, it's a one-year rental, I have a feeling he's not necessarily looking at money as the defining factor. And who knows? Who knows? Mm-hmm. What I'm hoping here is that he bounces back and we can just see him play basketball at a high level again. Mm-hmm. Screw the ring, because the Warriors were probably going to win anyway unless Boston just put everything together, which I had them as doing, but we don't know. Like, right. I'm guessing that Boston would have won the ring. Here's the thing, though. It was still it's a crapshoot in the finals against the Warriors because three-time champions. But I just want to see Boogie play well again and see him get healthy and string together a lot of games where he just is consistent. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing. I want him to start as soon as he comes back. Not playing heavy minutes, but I want him to start. Mm-hmm. Because I think he needs to be acclimated to that. It's that role immediately, because when he's healthy, he is going to start. I think it would just expedite the whole process a little bit. And the thing here's, I gotta just ask you this: have you seen on Twitter when this happened, the people were like, "But who's gonna score off the bench?" Like, you know, you can just stagger the minutes of these five guys. It doesn't matter. The Warriors can realistically have the shallowest bench in the NBA come playoff time.
Yeah.
Won't matter.
They could have a 6-man rotation of those five guys and Andre Iguodala
and Jordan Bell. Right. And there you go.
I'm not even saying. I'm saying, like, not even factoring in Jordan Bell and Quinn Cook and whoever else, Jacob Evans, doesn't matter. Like, they could have those six guys, and their top six will be worlds better than anyone else's top six. And when all rotations shorten in the playoffs, if they go into the playoffs healthy and they stay healthy throughout the playoffs, it's game over. Mm. Doesn't matter what, no matter what any other team does. Like, I thought, I was like you. I thought Boston had a realistic shot. I think this at least lowers those odds considerably. I thought maybe Boston, I'm writing something at Give Me Sport about whether Boston should trade for Kawhi, and I think there's a case to be made that this reduces their incentive to do so, because now Boston may not feel like, even adding Kawhi, they may not feel like they win the ring. whereas before it was like, all right, if you had Kawhi, if you swap out Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard, you're probably favored against the Warriors at that point. I do want to ask you this more. Do you think Boogie, I agree that he's going to start games. Do you think he closes games in the playoffs?
He should. He's a much better shooter than we, like, okay, assuming he's healthy, right? Like, he's productive. Okay. He's a much better shooter than we give him credit for. So mm-hmm. I think the spacing aspect alone is huge, because he provides driving lanes for Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry. Clay even mentioned that during that when he played with him at Team USA, like, he actually gave the shooters much more space, mm-hmm. which is just frightening to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Boogie provides additional spacing for the guys, like, just those threes are going to be layups.
Right.
So, yeah.
What about defense?
All hinges on the Achilles. All hinges on, you know, the...
I mean,
the,
he was a mediocre defender even before that, though. Right? I shouldn't say that. Yeah. He was a lazy defender.
All right. But here's the thing, though. 6'11", 270.
Mm-hmm.
He clocks up the lane. When teams stupidly go up against him in the post, like, he's a mountain. You mm-hmm. can't move him. That's fine. And he's a great defensive rebounder. That's, I mean... I don't see the problem here. You have Draymond, you have KD, who's extremely long. You have Klay, who's a solid man-to-man defender. Even Steph can sometimes just come in from the weak side and just, you know, poke away steals. Like, they have enough. I don't care. And then if all else fails, like, you have Iggy, who can step in and take minutes there. I mean, no, I'm not worried about that, really. And you know why I'm not worried as much about defense? It's because the Warriors are going to be up 27 anyway.
I mean, that's probably true. I do wonder whether... I mean, Iggy's defense on the wing, I would argue, is possibly more valuable than what Boogie provides on offense. So I do wonder whether they just go back to the death lineup to close close games. But luckily for the Warriors, they're not going to have to worry about that for 8 or 9 months. So we'll revisit that conversation in April. I do think we should note as well, I've seen a lot of stuff about, you know, how, like, the NBA is fatally flawed because this happened. Especially, like, even I thought it was just so ironic that the NBPA tweeted about this mm-hmm. because, like, they are directly responsible for Warriors team coming to fruition. Like, had they accepted cap smoothing, in all likelihood, Kevin Durant, he might have still been able to join the Warriors, but Iggy would not have been there. And had they accepted cap smoothing, there wouldn't have been this one-year spike in 2016, where then every owner spent like a drunken idiot and handed out these gigantic deals to Mozgov and Deng and Joakim Noah, and created the system where 2 years later, there was no cap space anywhere. Like, I've seen people saying Boogie should have taken a bigger deal elsewhere. Like, where? No one has cap space. Everyone spent it in the first 2 days this summer. There are like four or five teams that can get above $5 million in cap space, and it is the first Tuesday of free agency. Like, those big offers weren't there. The most he could have taken was the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which would have been like $3.3 million more. Woohoo. Like, of course he's going to join the Warriors and just win basically a guaranteed ring and take a $3 million pay cut. Like, if mm-hmm. teams are upset that he went there, they should have and could have offered him more money, but no one did. So he did what's best for him. I don't want to hear anything slating Boogie for this move. It's not his fault that this confluence of circumstances unfolded the way it did. And,
or the Warriors.
Right. Yeah, they're just taking advantage of a system that really that benefited them more than anyone else. It's not their fault.
It's almost like the system didn't really work and you need to take advantage of it.
Right.
I stole that quote from Derek Bodner. He had a very good tweet earlier.
About oh, nice.
Basically, yeah, basically just saying, maybe someone should take advantage of the system.
Right.
Maybe that's not as bad. Yeah.
It's very
yeah.
similar to what the Sixers did with the draft. Like,
exactly.
You exploit loopholes whenever you can. And you can't be mad at teams for doing that. So
exactly. So when I posted this on you know Danish Danish Facebook is Facebook, but like on my page on Facebook, which is for Danes, like oh my God, the hatred and vitriol sent away to the NBA and Boogie and the Warriors, it was pretty severe. And honestly, I'm sitting there going, they had to do it. Like, if you're a team, regardless of how good you are, if you have a chance to upgrade, like, of course you do it.
Right.
Like, why would you turn it down? It doesn't make sense. And how could the NBA, like, I saw a couple of comments about it. The NBA should veto this.
It, yeah.
Like, no, you can't. It's within the rules. Like, okay, let's just take an example here. Let's say that we have one crazy-ass summer where the top 15 players in the entire NBA are all free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And they get together and go, hey, let's all go to the same team, and we'll take these type of contracts, whatever. Like, they arrange, they sit 15 players and plan, you know, out their contracts so it works under the salary cap, and they go to one team. If it's legal, you can't say shit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just very uninformed, this whole discussion about, like... why the veto idea is dumb. It's allowed
it's allowed.
A one-time circumstance. I think there will be a lot more backlash, honestly, if what you suggested earlier, if he just signs for $6 million next year and eschews these, like, if he gets $100 million offer and he signs for $6 million, then we have, you know, then you can make an argument that there's a problem with competitive balance. But, like, the Warriors don't give a shit about competitive balance. Their entire mission is to win more rings. Don't fault them for taking advantage of the system.
But is that system wrong? Like, let's just take it. If Boogie actually has a $100 million offer next year and he takes $6 million, I mean, that's his prerogative, right?
Right, it is. I think then you could start making the argument that, you know, then there's a problem, because in theory the one advantage bad teams have is at least you can offer him a lot more money. So if you can't, if like there is nothing a bad team can do to lure a good player, then you can start arguing that something needs to change. But
Teams should change.
I'm sorry,
I'm getting really upset about this, because it's the bad teams. Like, when people say, oh, the Warriors ruined the NBA, no, bad teams ruin themselves, and as such, they ruin the competitive balance. Mm-hmm. Portland didn't need to give Evan Turner $70
million.
Yeah. The Magic didn't need to give Bismack Biyombo $70
million. Right.
The Lakers didn't have to give Timothy Mozgov $64 and Deng $72. The Knicks didn't have to pay Joakim Noah. Like, so many teams are screwing themselves. Let's look at a team like Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
They not only traded up to get Elfrid Payton and ended up shipping him away for a second rounder.
Right.
They also cashed in their small chips for Serge Ibaka, who they later traded for Terrence Ross in a second rounder.
Yeah.
They didn't even pick up the fourth year option on Mario Hezonja. They played Aaron Gordon out of position for 2 years or 3 years. Like, every decision they made was their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made them bad. Mm-hmm. That you can't sit here and point fingers at the Warriors and going, oh, you ruined the NBA. No, shoddy management and shoddy ownership, like if you look at the Knicks, ruined the NBA. The NBA is ruined, but you know what I mean. Like, that's
particular teams.
Exactly. That's not the fault of the Warriors. So when people sit there and go, oh, but that player should be on the Knicks or Magic, whatever. No, they did not want to go there because that team sucked by its own accord.
Right. Yeah. I think it'd be very reactionary and dumb of the NBA to change anything, like overhaul any part of its system aside from if there's another salary cap spike, implement effing cap smoothing Players Association. Right. But, like, I don't think there should be a hard cap because of this. I don't think they should, like, change the way max contracts work. Well, I think
they should, they should change one thing, though.
What's that?
When you have bad ownership, not bad management. Like, when they meddled with the Philadelphia model, that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when they have bad ownership, like James Dolan,
mm-hmm.
interfere in some way that's more productive. Like, if you see a team that has 20-odd years of shitty management, or ownership, not management, ownership, where, you know, the Charles Oakley situation, the bad, you know, the constant chances for Isaiah Thomas, the sexual harassment calls, all those things, interfere. Like, try to get something moving that makes you, I don't know, I don't know if you can force a sale, but... Well, they did with Sterling, though.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope, though.
It might be, but, I mean, if you have a team, an organization that for over 20 years is just really horrible,
yeah,
and it's because of shoddy ownership, like, what, should we just let them be this bad?
Yeah.
And then just, all right.
Yes, force the owners to get better.
Yeah, but, and if that doesn't happen, then what?
Then they're going to suck.
Like, and then every team who does their job right is apparently going to take the blame.
Right. You can't. That makes zero sense. You can't legislate out stupidity, no matter what you do.
Yeah. No, I guess not. But what you can do is maybe not, then, and this is to the fans out there, not blame teams who do well.
Right. Right.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Well, speaking of, I don't know if it's stupidity necessarily, but questionable decisions. So the Los Angeles Lakers rescinded their rights to Julius Randle, which made him an unrestricted free agent. They then immediately agreed to sign Rajon Rondo to a 1-year $9 million deal. Could you explain what the Lakers are doing, Mort?
Well, they're basically following up their greatest free agent acquisition of all time with some of the worst free agent acquisitions of all time. I don't really have a problem with Rondo.
Right.
I think I have a problem paying Rondo $9 million, and yes, I think I have a problem with renouncing Julius fucking Randle for, you know, to get the chance to overpay for Rondo.
Right.
That's a problem. I will say this, if it's just like out of courtesy that they renounced Randle because he knew he wouldn't be getting a big role,
right,
I can sort of respect that, but that still seems very short-sighted to me. Like, if the Pelicans wanted to give him that deal, you could have facilitated some type of sign-and-trade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did it become a sign-and-trade? Didn't, right?
I don't think so. No.
I don't know. I don't see where they're going with this. They have virtually no shooting right now. Like, KCP is, like, good, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron is actually one of their best shooters.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not really sure what they're doing. I'm not saying that you have to just do the whole, hey, let's put shooters and solely shooters around LeBron. I'm not saying they should go that route necessarily. I think it's good to have something else, but where's the shooting going to come from? Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, I mean, I'll play devil's advocate and try to make this make sense for Lakers fans, but let it be known that I don't necessarily believe all of this. One, LeBron, toward the end of the finals after JR's massive brain fart, he spoke repeatedly about how it isn't just like physical talent, but you need like really high basketball IQ to beat the Warriors. And Rondo is, you know, for all of his faults, he's a really fucking smart basketball player. Like,
he is.
I, I forget, someone, I think someone on Bleacher Report had a column about him earlier in the playoffs, and it just detailed, you know, the type of preparation. I think it was about, like, you know, the playoff Rondo moniker.
Oh yeah.
And like how he's like neurotic about studying film and studying tendencies. And LeBron even mentioned Rondo when he was talking about these guys with the Celtics, and he was like, you know, when Rondo was with KG and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, like, he was calling out opposing our plays. Like, he knew what we were going to run. So LeBron very well might have said, like, look, I want smart players. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm playing the Warriors and I have a chance to beat them and take a 1-0 lead, and my teammate gets an offensive rebound and forgets that the game is tied. Like, I don't think that's going to happen with Rajon Rondo. So that's one thing. Two, Ramona Shelburne, I think, and there are multiple reports that came out after the agreement that they haven't promised Lonzo Ball is going to start this year. They said, like, Rondo is coming to camp with the opportunity to start. So maybe they are hoping that competition, by virtue of, you know, they don't want Lonzo to get complacent and think, like, everything is being handed to him. Bringing in a veteran guy like Rondo and saying, let the best guy win, I guess they're hoping that brings out the best in Lonzo as well. That said, it could backfire magnificently. Like, if Rondo does start over Ball, then, you know, imagine LaVar Ball's reaction to Rondo pushing his son out of the starting gig after only 1 year. So
he probably should. I mean, look, I give Rondo crap mostly because of, you know, I think he's somewhat overrated as a player in terms of what he provides on a statistical level, and I think his defense is extremely overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, there is no doubt in my mind he's one of the most intelligent basketball players in our league.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I get that. And based on that, and based on what we saw from Lonzo last year, there's a significant distance between their two basketball IQs at this point, which is fair. Like, Ball is what, 20?
20, 21? Yeah.
20? Yeah, so that's fine. But Rondo right now will definitely take smarter decisions. He's also apparently a terrific and great teammate that everyone seems to love, unless you're Rayon for some reason.
Right.
So LeBron and him might go into this huge love fest, which does carry a lot of weight in a locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to acknowledge here is that might work out, but then you might have the other side of the locker room with Lonzo Ball trying to pull in his guys.
Yep.
Like Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma going, hey, you know what? We're the young guns. We're supposed to be the future. Look at those old geezers, you know, trying to take over. What the hell? Whatever. I am nervous about a divided locker room, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Here's my question. Could they start alongside one another? Could you do Rondo as the nominal point guard, Lonzo at the 2, Ingram at the 3, LeBron at the 4, and then I guess JaVale McGee at the 5, depending on who else they bring in.
Sure. Why not? Like, he's 6'6".
Yeah. Right.
Like, and he's a surprisingly good defender. He rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
You have so many playmakers on the court, too. I mean, I guess the argument against that for the Lakers is then who's going to run the point off the bench. But, again, it goes just...
Stacker.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I feel this whole idea about players coming off the bench has become, like, such a debated issue more than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can stagger minutes. Like,
right.
Just because you have a starting lineup doesn't mean they have to play every single minute alongside each other.
Right.
Like, when we talk about second units, it's not like you have, well, on occasion you do, but very rarely do you have, like, five-man
swap, usually.
Right. But that's not the norm, so...
Right. Right.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. The thing I would have a problem with in that scenario is, where's the shooters?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just feels like the Lakers added so much volatility to this locker room with Rondo and Lance Stephenson and JaVale. It's like, it could blow up spectacularly. Mm-hmm. That said, you know, we were talking when LeBron signed about how he didn't necessarily choose the best basketball fit in terms of short-term contention.
Right.
But now that Boogie's on the Warriors, it might not matter, man. Like, I don't know what the Lakers could have done.
I didn't think it mattered anyway. Right. They weren't going, like...
But even if they traded for Kawhi this year, like, if they trade Ingram and Kuzma and whatever, right, multiple firsts to get Kawhi Leonard, does this Lakers team beat that Warriors team? No way.
Well, it's in the conversation because we don't know, you know, regarding Bookie and his health.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the, like, you add a top five player, again, two top five players, like, in LeBron and Kawhi, like, yeah, then you deserve the benefit of the doubt to be named in that same conversation. Like, then they're on that same tier as Houston was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then they basically just overtake Houston's spot.
Assuming Kawhi's healthy, like, we also...
All right, yeah, obviously, right.
But we can't give the Warriors no benefit of the doubt with Boogie and say Kawhi's going to come back, be totally fine, have no setbacks. Because we don't know, both of these guys are wild cards at this point.
That's fair, but Boogie's injury, like, you're the one married to a doctor. The Boogie injury is by far the worst injury, right?
At least in terms of, like, I think if Kawhi's is degenerative or if it, like, Boogie's is a one-time thing. Like, he,
right.
I mean, it, like, his tendon will heal. He could always re-rupture it, whereas Kawhi's just could be, like, this lingering thing. So they're just two very separate injuries. That said, in terms of, like, a devastating injury impact on your body, yeah, tearing your Achilles is far worse.
Yeah, okay. Not saying that the Kawhi thing isn't scary, because it
right.
is.
Right.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay, but if they get a Kawhi, I'm still putting them in the same conversation.
Fair.
Because I believe that Kawhi is going to be healthy. That's solely why. And he's a top five player. I mean, we seem to be forgetting that. I mean, everyone's talking about, oh, this should have gone after Boogie, this should have gone after this and that, but, like, Kawhi is the guy, right? Like, next year, even if they go after a Jimmy Butler or a Klay Thompson or something, like, I would always look back at this, if they don't get Kawhi, as, oh, the one who got away.
Well, the one smart thing they're doing is signing a bunch of guys to one-year deals. So they are effectively sending the message to Kawhi, we have cleared the decks for you. You will have $32.7 million earmarked with your name on it next summer. Mm-hmm. Even if you get traded to Boston or Philly or wherever, we got you. You're coming out.
And that worked out so well with Paul George.
Yeah. I know. You, it's true, but, like, they're two different people.
Of course they are. I'm just saying that you can't rely on it. Like, right. You don't know. I have this thing where if a guy of that caliber is available, go for him. You take him now.
I think the Lakers have less incentive to trade for him now than, I'd say, if I'm ranking it, Philly has the most, Boston has the second most, Lakers are much further lower. Because Philly needs to get that star, and if he's willing to re-sign there, that's it. I mean, game over. Boston,
right.
They're favored in the East right now. They're going to make it to the finals in all likelihood. The main reason they should trade for Kawhi is to make sure Philly doesn't. Because if Philly does, that evens the tables. But otherwise, Boston's fine either way. And then the Lakers, like, just based on the continued tenor of this Kawhi really wants to go to the Lakers conversation, it seems like, you know, Paul George, I saw it from Sean Devaney of Sporting News, where he's like, Paul George just, like, likes going home, and he would have liked to join the Lakers, but he's fine going to OKC. Kawhi had that stuff with, like, the Jordan brand, where his negotiations broke down earlier this year and his contract's up in September, and he wants to go to a bigger market. So, yeah, Philly and Boston are also bigger markets, but apparently, like, LA is just LA. He could earn more if he goes to LA than anywhere else. So,
yep.
It'll be fun. That's the one big storyline to monitor from here on out, but...
Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The other major news of Monday was, since the Lakers renounced Julius Randle, he quickly went to the New Orleans Pelicans, which it's kind of like a three-man rotation here. Like, they renounced Randle, brought in Rondo. Randle went to the Pelicans, and then since Randle went to the Pelicans, Boogie was not needed with the Pelicans, he went to the Warriors. So,
yeah.
So he is now 2 years, $18 million with a second-year player option, which is, I mean, so much lower than what I thought he was going to get this summer.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Like, Jabari Parker is sad right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Jabari might have to take the qualifying offer.
Oh, man. A man with two ACL tears in the same knee taking the qualifying offer is just a scandal. But okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, if Milwaukee, no one has cap space, and if Sacramento isn't willing to do it, or Atlanta's not willing to do it, Chicago's not willing to do it, there's no other option. It's either take whatever crap offer Milwaukee is giving you, and you're damn sure they will use Randle's contract as a template, or take the qualifying offer.
Yep. No, but, you're right. It's a hell of a deal for New Orleans. I love the fit there. Yeah. He's healthy, unlike Boogie, so you get a certain level of security there that you didn't have with Boogie, which I feel is just so crucial for him.
Mm-hmm.
And very much like Boogie, he's one of those guys who can pass when he's on the run or in a standstill. He can pass from on top of the key. He can pass from the post. He can pass from the wing. Like, those two guys are very similar in their passing patterns, I would say, which I feel is a huge win for the Pelicans, because that means they can kind of insert him into that role, at least from a passing perspective, and run some of the same sets. What Randle isn't is a shooter, which is mildly concerning, but he is a great rebounder. He can push the ball. And, you know, after the weight loss last summer, like, he actually improved his explosivity a lot more.
Yeah.
Which I, like, we talk about this sometimes, you know, oh, a guy comes into the league, he has a rep of not being athletic. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people can lose weight. People can get in shape. People can actually change their entire body so they're more effective. And looking at Randle play last season in the open court was a completely different scenario from years past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy is running hard. He's quick. He makes quick decisions. If he and AD comes out on the field and just runs, I mean, it could lead to so many lobs. It could lead to so many open shots. And then if you throw Nikola Mirotic into the equation when Anthony Davis sits, and, you know, you play Randle at center and Nico at the four, like, you can sort of mimic that same thing, just on the wing instead. I mean, I like that front court rotation. What they need now is a small forward, because Solomon Hill is not gonna do that for you.
Right. That's been the story of the Pelicans over the last couple of years, is they just have a terrible wing rotation. Yeah, I mean, the worst thing the Lakers did last year was ask Randle to give the ball up in transition and give it to Lonzo.
Yeah.
Because Randle is devastating in transition. Like, he really
is.
Yeah. And the Pelicans, if they run at a fast pace this year, they're going to take advantage with Randle and AD. If they weren't going to bring back Boogie, Randle's the best alternative they could have found this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, so are you saying, would you start Randle over Nico?
It's so difficult because I think the fit with AD is better with Nico, but I think Randle is so very clearly the better player.
Mm. Interesting.
So I'm not sure. What I do know is this. Randle played under 27 minutes last year. That needs to change.
Yep.
Because look at his production. In 26.7 minutes, he averaged 16.1 points, 8 rebounds, 2.6 assists, and got to the line 5.2 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, when you adjust that for proper minutes, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane production in a very limited window. And I think New Orleans has an understanding of, hey, if we give this guy more minutes and we don't have him shoulder as much of the responsibility because we have, you know, unlike the Lakers had last year, Anthony Davis, that's going to help a whole lot. And then when you throw Drew Holiday into the equation as well, like, Randle can actually take possessions off.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether I would start him or I'd have him come off the bench. Either way, I would just play those three front court guys like 32 minutes a pop because that averages is all out. Like,
just
play those guys 32 minutes, maximize whatever you can get from those three, and then you can interchange them. Because in that way, I also feel like the guy who's coming off the bench to open the game, like, he understands, oh, I'm just as valued a member of this front court as the other two.
Right.
So I think there's sense in doing that.
And the good thing is both Anthony Davis and Randle can play either position.
So play center.
Yeah, so it, like, doesn't, they're all basically interchangeable. I don't think you want Nico as your center necessarily, at least defensively.
Neither as a center or a small forward.
Yeah, you're right. You want him as your four, but like whoever he's paired with, either Davis or Randle. Like, if you start Nico and Davis, which is what I would do, just because when Boogie went down, Nico came in. They had a lot of success with that. They absolutely murdered the Trailblazers with that lineup. Mm-hmm. Then you bring Randle off the bench. You could, you know, if you keep, I guess you'd probably keep Davis in there for longer, so you'd bring Randle off the bench as the four, and then when Davis sits and you bring Nico back in, you shift him over to the five, and then you kind of just run that three-man rotation, and yeah, it's like, the West is just going to be an absolute nightmare this year. It's, Jonathan Sharks wrote a column today at The Ringer about just how, like, the Western middle class is absurd. Like, there are going to be a lot of good teams that miss the playoffs this year. Because you'll have the Warriors and the Rockets, presumably. But, you know, assuming everyone stays healthy on every team, you got the Warriors and the Rockets, OKC, Utah, New Orleans, the Lakers. The Mavericks are, like, trying to be competitive. So are the Grizzlies. So are the Clippers. You still have the Blazers out there. The Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Well, the Nuggets should be fine. The Timberwolves will be interesting.
Not so much.
We won't necessarily discuss them today, but it feels like that situation is on the brink of boiling over. But even still, like, there are going to be more good, deserving teams of playoff spots than there are actual playoff spots. So someone or multiple teams most likely are going to miss out and, you know, are going to look at the East and been like, damn, we really should have change to that 1-16 model this year.
Can I just ask you a question? If you look at the Western Conference right now, let's assume that we actually had implemented the 1-16 system.
Oh man,
what Western Conference squads would you have right now in a league-wide pool as missing the playoffs if it's 1-16? No conferences, but look at the current Western Conference. How Kings, many teams definitely. Do you even have? Kings definitely. Me, yeah, me too.
Suns definitely.
Yeah, I think I'm there too. But I think they're a lot better than people think.
Yeah, I agree. I just like Ayton in his first year, if he doesn't pick up defensively right away, and I think it's going to take him some time. It's still taking Towns some time.
You're right. Okay, so Kings, Suns.
I know, it's a fair question. Like, you can make a case against the Clippers, the Mavericks, and the Grizzlies, but...
And you could also make a case for them.
Right. Yeah, like, I think it's fair. If there was a 1-16 right now, I think you'd probably have...
Two guaranteed.
I think you'd have at least 11 teams from the West that make the playoffs.
Yeah, and maybe even more.
Like, I mean, I think, like, the Celtics, Sixers, Raptors will be in. I think the Pacers and the Bucks would both be in because the Bucks are going to be much better this year with Budenholzer than they were.
I think so too. Yeah.
So the Wizards are probably the cutoff just because they could really suck without. I mean, we still don't know what their center situation is going to be. And I guess the Heat too are lingering out there. But like, yeah, the Hawks, Cavs, Bulls, Knicks are all going to be garbage.
Oh, yeah, dead. Yeah.
Hornets are probably going to blow their team apart at some point. Magic are going to be bad. The Nets will be frisky, but they wouldn't make it over any of these Western
but
teams.
But I love the fact that you mentioned two teams with absolute certainty, and that's it. Like, there are two teams where you're absolutely certain in the Western Conference they won't make it.
Yeah.
But that's really it. Opening the door for 13 teams.
And that's, like, everyone who's saying the Warriors are going to ruin the NBA, blah, 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 blah. Like, this Western Conference playoff race starts day one. Like, every regular season game matters. If, for the people who say the regular season doesn't matter, look at the Western Conference, listen to our conversation for the last 5 minutes. That shit starts from day one. And there's probably going to be a similar situation to there was this year with the Nuggets and Timberwolves having a play-in game on the final night of the regular season. Like, it's that middle class is just going to be way too crowded for there to be, you know, the 6, 7, 8 seeds to run away with it.
It's crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, it actually is. Because when people say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to follow the NBA this year because I already know who wins, then you're talking about one series at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, you have 7.5 months of entertainment otherwise. Like, get out of here. Like, there's a lot to like.
I want to see what, like, how all of these young prospects develop. I want to see how LeBron meshes with the Lakers, how Boogie meshes with the Warriors, how all of these new imports mesh with their new teams. This season's going to be really fun. Like, yes, the Warriors are going to win. But there, as you said, there's a lot to watch between now and, June 1st? When
exactly.
Then there will
and
be
it's
a
not just,
outcome.
Like, new faces. It's also, like, you know, second-year guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how they've improved over the summer.
Yeah.
What about the first-year guys? Are some of those guys going to take the leap, which you usually see in the third year? Like, there's so many, you know, storylines that we can follow. It's the NBA is more than just wins and losses. Like, there's a whole component off the side of it with storylines and ideas, and like, it's a 24/7 league and we seem fixated on one series next June.
Right.
Like, shut up. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Your team, spoiler, even before the Warriors added Boogie, your team probably wasn't going to win the title anyway, unless you're a Celtics fan. So
sorry to break it for you.
Yeah. Like, nothing got ruined.
Are you telling me the Hornets won't win?
Yeah.
No. No, I was hoping this was the year. No.
Kemba's about to take that 8th-year leap, man.
Yeah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. There are two notable re-signings yesterday. One, Derek Favors back to the Jazz. 2 years, $36 million. The second year is completely non-guaranteed, so it's effectively a one-year, $18 million deal. I like it for the Jazz.
Yeah, I love it for the Jazz. I love it for Favors in terms of the monetary value, but I am wondering why he didn't go somewhere else. Maybe the money just weren't there.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Then take a 1 year, but I hope next year he goes somewhere else so he can be the starting center somewhere. I think it's time. He's playing sort of out of position at the four. He's not really a stretch four as they needed.
Yep.
It is what it is, but it's unfortunate. Like, if I could copy Nikola Mirotic so he could be on both the Pelicans and the Jazz, I would do it immediately, because Nico is the type of guy the Jazz, I feel at least, needs alongside Gobert. Just to straight out the defense a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, man. Nico's going to be a free agent next summer, so maybe that's why they... structured it as they did. Yeah, I mean,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, I like it for both sides, frankly. Like, if the big money offers weren't there, and they probably weren't, because when Dallas filled their hole at center, that was it.
Yep.
Go cash in for a year, and then go try your luck again next summer. And in the meantime, stay on a Jazz team who you started to find a groove with last year with Gobert, even though you are probably playing out of position, and then go cash in next summer. But like, I like it for the Jazz in the sense that, like, it's good on them for not trying to lowball him when cap space doesn't really matter for them. Like, they weren't going to replace him with whatever cap space, if he left, they weren't going to find an adequate replacement. And on a 1-year deal, who gives a shit? Like, pay, you know, reward him for what he's done and how big of a piece of your culture he is. So
they did him right. They did him right. And you know what? That counts. Moving forward, they are building themselves a brand. Mm-hmm. I mean, to do right about their players, you know, players know these things. You know, we as fans and analysts are sitting here and talking about moves that are in the now. Mm-hmm. But like these things, they linger for a while, because if you are kidding yourself if you believe a player to say, oh, I'm not thinking about my free agency next year.
Right.
Yeah. He is thinking about it. He has been thinking about it for the past year.
Yeah.
So he's looking at those things like, oh, Derek Favors got that from the Jazz. Oh, man, they have a loyal system right there. I might need to take a meeting.
Yeah.
That these things go places.
I agree. I mean, honestly, it's why, like, the Magic signed Aaron Gordon to 4 years, $84 million. If you look at that deal and compare it to Julius Randle, it looks like the Magic overpaid for Aaron Gordon. But, like, they did right by him, too. That's a good compromise. They didn't give him a full five-year max. They gave him almost half of that. But, you know, they gave him, like, about 20, I think around $20 million less than his, actually more, a little bit more than $20 million less than his 4 year max.
And but he's earning $21 million
right
a year.
But it's so he's still like he is still rich, you know, his family is set up for the rest of its life, as in like generations down. But yeah, I mean I think there is value in doing right by guys, as you said, and like establishing yourself as a brand, especially with your homegrown guys or like guys who have committed to your franchise long term. I think there is value in giving off that perception to the rest of the NBA, because then as free agents are surveying the market and they see, oh, you know, not only are the Jazz a good team, a good competitive team, they have Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, they could legit be, you know, they made it to the second round last year, but also like they're not dickheads. Like I wouldn't mind playing for that team with that front office, that ownership group. I think it goes a long way. And for a small market team like Utah, especially, that isn't necessarily a free agent destination for the top tier guys, it's especially valuable to set up that reputation so you start getting into the conversation of some of the second or like the second tier people.
Completely agree.
So the other notable re-signing was possibly the most predictable move in free agency. J.J. Redick back with the Philadelphia 76ers. One-year deal worth somewhere between $12 and $13 million. I don't think we've seen the official numbers, and I'm guessing the Sixers are probably waiting to lock in a certain number until they figure out what they have about $14 million in cap space remaining pending a Jared Bayless buyout. So maybe they're waiting to see what they do with that. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I have no complaints. JJ was a really valuable addition to the team last year. Getting him for, you know, 10 to 11 million less than what they did last year, I think is good. They still have, again, the problem with the Sixers is roster spots at this point. You would have to assume now that LeBron is locked in to the Lakers, they are going to seriously consider waiving Jared Bayless and trying to reach a buyout. Whether he gives money back or not, they just need his roster spot. Still need a backup big, whether it's Amir Johnson. They've been linked. Alex Kennedy of Hoopsype has mentioned they are seriously considering Kyle O'Quinn formerly of the Knicks, which I'd be a huge fan of. And then they're probably going to go after a wing. Tyreek Evans, maybe. Wayne Ellington. Both of those guys are from the Philly area. I'd be on board with either of those two. But
yep.
Yeah, this is plan B for the Sixers. It was, if they didn't get, like, I've seen some Sixers fans in my mentions say they want to go after a Jabari Parker, or they, like, they're mad that they didn't go after a Julius Randle or someone, or, like, someone in the restricted free agent class. Dante Exum's still hanging out there. And I get it, but you have to give, restricted free agents have to get at least 2 years, not counting options. And I really don't think the Sixers want to cut into their cap space next year.
I would agree. I don't see the need for it.
Yeah. Like, if they strike out next year, then they'll probably go after a restricted free agent. And the pickings may be slim, because you figure Towns is going to get his max deal at some point. The Knicks are going to wait, but they'll max Kristaps out next summer. Miles Turner is probably going to get a pretty nice deal from the Pacers. Devin Booker is going to get a good deal from the Suns, but like they'll find someone. Like if they don't get a top tier guy next summer, whether it's Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, whoever, that's when they'll start most likely locking into these longer term deals, just because at that point Ben Simmons' extension will kick in the next year. If Dario Saric is still around, same goes for him. So they have now a 12-month window basically to spend their cap space before it all goes away. So,
and I mean, to Philly fans out there, you're going after the wrong buck.
Who?
Chris Middleton.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Giannis. I'm so fixated. The Jabari rumors are complete bullshit. Let's just put that out there. It is an agent trying to drive up his player's market.
Of course.
Like, there is no... If they're not bullshit, I'm going to quit the Sixers.
That's no, how, you're not.
No, that... Honestly, that is how dumb of a move it would be. I would fake quit. Like, how you fake quit the Bulls. But
I'm going to accept that one. Yeah.
But, like, there is literally no point to bringing in Jabari Parker. You have... The front court is not your issue. And Jabari Parker cannot play the three. He's a four. That's it. You've got Ben Simmons, he's Saric, like and Embiid. Yeah.
Straight four.
And you have Ben Simmons, Saric, and Embiid already. Like, you need more wings. You need more guys who can create off the dribble, create their own shot. Jabari, I get it. He's a former number two overall pick. He had scored 20 points per game before he went down with a second ACL tear.
Blah, blah, blah. ACL tears. That's all you need to know. It's a concern.
Yeah. It would be very...
I hope that he bounces back. I hope he's... I don't wish injury upon anyone.
Right.
So that's not the key here. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that you have to be cautious when... Look, whenever people mention Jabari Parker on Twitter, like as a candidate, the first thing I go to in my mind is not, oh, he's explosive, he can score, he can do all these things. It's two ACL tears.
Right.
That's the immediate thought I go to.
Yep.
Which is where he's at right now.
Yep.
And that's very, very unfortunate. I would love to be able to analyze him off the merits of his game instead.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And, by the way, just to comment quickly on the Redick signing, or re-signing, I came across an interesting stat, which is really, really ridiculous. So, J.J. Redick had a true shooting percentage of 61, which is, let's first and foremost, that's insane. Mm-hmm. That's an insane efficiency number. And it's especially insane for someone who takes as many threes and is just out there so much on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
His average distance on field goals...
Mm.
20.1 feet.
I believe that.
And that's a 61.4 true shooting percentage.
Yeah.
You don't really get better than that.
Right, yeah. You need shooters around Ben Simmons. He's the best shooter on the market.
This isn't... Really, I mean, these are Ray Allen numbers at this point.
Yep.
And I mean, with all respect to Ray, he was spearheading a different era, but J.J. Redick right now is this era's Ray Allen.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, yes, Boston targeted him on defense in the playoffs.
So be it.
Right. Ideally, the Sixers will add one more wing, whether it's Evans, Ellington, someone else to be determined to avoid that if they do it again. But what he provided as a shooter is absolutely essential. They were always going to bring him back if they didn't get LeBron. This is no one should have a problem with this deal.
It's a wonderful deal. And at 12 to 13 million, that's, like you said, 10 to 11 million less than last year. Right. And last year, he averaged a career high.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that Redick is going to just bottom out and be a 12 point scorer this year.
No.
No, he's probably going to maintain a 15, 16 point scoring average.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a steal.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's do a lightning round with some of the more minor signings. One just came through, so we'll start there. Jeff Green to the Washington Wizards on a one-year minimum deal.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Well, back to, I guess, Washington. Didn't he played at Georgetown, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic about this.
So Troy Brown's role is not going to be as big as I thought it'd be now, which is unfortunate. But I mean, you needed someone, right? You needed someone to solidify the bench who can play the three and the four.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Because Mike Scott left to the Clippers.
Yeah. This is okay. It's fine.
They're just greasing the wheels on a Kevin Durant acquisition. They're light years ahead, those Wizards. I mean, I'm just happy for Jeff so he can go back to DC. Oh man, he's gonna get to go to Wisey's all the time. That son of a bitch. There was a really good deli right by Georgetown, and even after Jeff was in the NBA, I lived right by there, so I would see him and like some of his former teammates at Georgetown roll up during the summer and still go to Wisey's. So Jeff, enjoy your chicken madness, my friend. You earned it. Who else? The other big, not big, but medium-sized notable signing yesterday was Nerlens Noel to OKC. 2 years.
Oh, did he get $70 million?
He did not. He got close to that. He got 2 years, $3.5 million with a second-year player option.
Oh, yeah. Nerlens, that was not a good move.
No.
Buddy.
No, it was not. But to be fair, he would have been locked into somewhat purgatory in Dallas, or at least,
his money, though.
Yeah. I like the move for OKC.
Absolutely.
Like there's no risk involved. I mean, Nerlens is a very good defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a strong chance he's just an absolute dickhead off the court, which is just the impression you've gotten based on how quickly Rick Carlisle soured on him. There were some rumblings behind the scenes in Philly about him and Brett Brown. Let's just say he needs to get his head on straight. If he does, and OKC is the place he does it, it's going to be a huge, huge addition to that team. I stand by this. OKC has a chance to be a top three defensive team next year.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's completely fair. I mean, they re-signed Jeremy Grant as well, mm-hmm. who's a strong defensive player. Got Paul George back. Andre Roberson is going to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nerlens coming off the bench, I'm guessing to play both the four and the five, because defensively, like he can get those minutes there at the four. Right. I think.
Yeah.
Like and he's like, athletic enough.
If it depends on what if anything you get out of Patrick Patterson this year, but I could see a world in which Nerlens is the more switchy of the two.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to generate steals, he's going to get block shots, he's going to get rebounds. He's going to give you the occasional mid-range jump shot, and otherwise he's going to mimic like DeAndre Jordan to the best of his ability, just set a screen, roll to rim, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he needs to redefine himself in OKC.
Yep.
And I think him accepting this type of deal, which is really a prove-it deal,
mm-hmm.
might be a sign that he's stepping in the right direction.
Agreed. So, honestly, I mean, I hold no bitterness toward Nerlens. He was the first leg of the process.
Why you bring him up so often.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly hope I think he has a lot of potential still. I just hope he lives up to it. And I think I'm excited to see. OKC is going to be my Western Conference team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to see Westbrook, miss 20 shots a game.
But I love Steven Adams. I love Paul George. I love Jeremy. They're really just reassembling the process guys, because Jeremy was also a process guy.
Oh, yeah, he was. That's right.
This is just Sixers West now. Seth Curry went to Portland, continuing the trend of Seth Curry getting horrendously overpaid. It's a two-year
underpaid.
Deal. Underpaid. Two-year deal. $2.75 million guaranteed. I think the second year is either a player option or non-guaranteed. I don't remember, but either way, it's good on you, Portland. Like it's a tradition like no other. Seth Curry.
I can't believe that's. I mean, this is the second time in 2 years.
It's wild.
I mean, or in 3 years. Sorry, yeah. 2016. Right, 2016 was the year he signed in Dallas for $6 million total over two seasons.
Yep.
Oh, I don't understand why my teams keep missing him. Like, he's right there.
I'm sure
he's
so good. Him missing the entire season with a stress injury didn't help, but He's
obviously right,
reportedly healthy again, and yeah, he's like a really effing good
still
shooter.
Still shoot, I'm guessing. That's really yeah.
And, like, you can say he's gonna get played off the floor in the playoffs because he's just not gonna be able to hold his own defensively, but that's true for a lot of guards, especially a lot of shooters. It's and at $2.75 million, it doesn't matter. Like, he's a perfect bench. Like, how much did Jody Meeks make last year from the Wizards?
Oh, I'm not sure, but more.
Yeah, a lot more than Seth Curry. A lot more. And I can tell you I'd much rather have Seth Curry than Jody Meeks.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Anthony Tolliver to the Timberwolves on a one-year $5.75 million deal. They used their... Presumably, they're using some of their mid-level exception for that, which means they have hard-capped themselves.
He's good.
Yeah,
I like it. He is. Yeah, it's fine. Like, he's a floor stretcher. The thing is, like, he's going to play Minnesota now, so he's definitely going to have fresh legs for next season.
That's true. I hope he's enjoying his five-minute-a-night roll off the bench.
Yep.
And the other one was Jose Calderon to Detroit, 1 year, $2.4 million minimum deal.
I have no comment on that one because, I mean, I don't understand why Detroit would sign actual dirt, but that's that's fine.
Like, I like them just
or not into... dirt, dust.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sorry. Dirt sounded very derogatory. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like them leaning into having every point guard. I think they're just going to have a roster of 15 point guards soon.
Yeah.
I like
sounds
it.
About right.
It's a bold strategy to really rebuild Reggie Jackson's confidence. Keep bringing in all these scrub point guards. Great. I mean, he's a veteran guy. I guess they liked him in Cleveland last year. Maybe he can... I hope it's more for an off-court mentorship for Jackson than it is hoping he's going to provide much on the court, but...
I mean, it would have to be, right?
Yeah. This is what happens when you don't have a GM in free agency.
Yep.
So we will obviously keep our eye out for other major big signings. I mean, a lot of them we thought we were going to have to wait till Friday or Saturday until the moratorium is over just because restricted free agents can't become on the clock by then. But don't worry, the madness is not over yet. You've still got Clint Capella out there. You have Jabari Parker. The inevitable Zach LaVine overpay that causes Mort to melt down. So get excited for that. It is coming in a couple days in all likelihood. Until then, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. I guess I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Based on how this is going, yeah. And everyone, have a happy 4th of July, all of our American listeners. Don't blow your hands off with fireworks. Also remember, a lot of people
Will Trump's off instead.
Also remember, a lot of people have very noise anxious dogs, myself included. So don't shoot fireworks off at 2 a.m. because you're only making a bunch of shelter dogs very, very nervous. But be safe. Have fun. I'm going to eat some hot chicken. It's going to be a good day.
Sounds good, Brian. Take care in the meantime.
All right, you too.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.